Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the United We Stand podcast, final game of the season. Brighton away. Always Brighton away. Always very, very sunny. On a bank holiday weekend, spoilt by a dead rubber, perhaps, or just a last final finale with our mates. So, big week in football. We'll talk about the biggest news of the week. Michael Carrick, 2 years. Thoughts?
I think it's good news. I've thought for a while now. It's hard to think that, like, we were just a couple of months ago that we even had a chance of getting Champions League. Like, and the fact that he's coming, I said from the start, he plays five at the back. Changed it from five at the back rather. Put Cobby back in, which has probably saved us about £60-70 million because we would have lost him otherwise. And the players like him, he's done the simple things, speaks very well, calm, everything we need. And you look at the options outside a handful of managers. I mean, Marco Silva was mentioned, Roberto Martinez, no interest in any of them above Carrick. So I think it's a good decision. And not too long a contract, which I think is the right thing. See how he does next year. But the simple fact is, since he walked in, he has done better than any other manager in the games he's had. So you can't do a better audition than that, and you wouldn't sack him now for the job he'd done if you'd have hired him in the first place on a full-time basis. So I think it's and people say about the Ollie thing as well, like, well, are you repeating that mistake? But whoever we get as manager, you're repeating a mistake we've already made, whether it's the big European name like Van Gaal, whether it's Mourinho, who the serial trophy winner. We've tried everything, and you might as well try something that, if it comes off, is the most preferable option of them all, which is, you know, a United man, puts the club first, he's not agenda-ridden, which Amorim was at times, Jose certainly was, and he's got the club... got the club at heart, and he puts them first. So I think absolutely the right decision.
There was also Glasnow was supposedly in the frame of Iriola. I was pleased myself that we went for Carrick rather than those two. Or do you not agree?
No, I agree definitely. I think they've both done very well at the clubs that they've been managing at. But I mean, we've been through this so many times, haven't we? With different managers where they've done well at, you know, mid-table teams or teams that are sort of looking to try and get into Europe but got very minimal expectation. They're not having to do 100 interviews a week with all the different press from all around the world. You know, it's a very different pressure at United, and I think that, you know, it would have been a much bigger risk to go for one of those guys rather than Carrick, who's been, you know, surrounded by United for many years and you know, has done a brilliant job since he's come in. So I think it's the right decision.
It certainly seems to have got some results, more than we'd expected under Amorim, and he's won games that we didn't expect him to win. Football's not always been brilliant, though. Have we taken the easier option?
It's not the right option, I think, Blackie. That's the most important thing. And I agree with everything that's just been said. The two other things to add to it. One, there's just been hardly any kind of noise around. There's been no nonsense. There's no team leaks, no hysteria at press conferences or any of that kind of stuff. He just seems to have settled everything inside and outside the club. The second thing I think he's done, which is on a really personal level, is he's made me really want to look forward to going to games again. And that's a massive thing. Like, that can't be understated. And I agree with Ollie that with Glasnow and Iriola, people talk about the DNA of United and blah blah blah. I don't think it's the DNA as such. It's just he understands our football club is totally different to any other football club on earth. If he walks down the street, people know about it. Iriola could be doing whatever he's doing right now, no one bats an eyelid. But Carrick gets that, understands that, and he seems to kind of work within those parameters very well.
He's certainly come in, and I'd say, yeah, the football's not always been very good, but there's been some brilliant football also. It's been famine or feast in some games. And you think maybe the influence of Steve Holland, and also in bringing Jonathan Woodgate, who he wanted there, and that Steve Holland appointment, which was, I believe, part of the deal that if you are to get the caretaker job, we want you to have a steady head. He seems to have made a big difference as well. Is that the difference perhaps between his tenure at Middlesbrough and how he can now learn from that and take United forward?
I don't know enough about what he did at Middlesbrough, so can't comment on that. But yeah, it seems to be working. So whatever he's done and the team around him, it's always more than just one person. It's the whole environment they're working in. So it seems to be working.
He's an inexperienced manager, isn't he, at the end of the day? So he needs experience around him. He's learning. He's learning on the job. I think it's going to be very difficult for him next year. I'm not sure whether it's going to be the answer long term. But I think right now it is the answer. And you know, he's doing everything he can, and the club's doing everything they can to support him and make sure that he's got the experience and, you know, the guys that know, you know, have been through it before. So I think, yeah, I think it's great.
That's the thing, isn't it? You made an important point there when you said he's learning on the job. Managers don't get the chance to learn on the job anymore, though, do they? You think about any young managers trying to come through. Somebody said to me this week, oh, you look at all the every other away fan, or every fan of every other club is really pleased that you've signed Carrick. That just shows what a poor signing is. And I said, well, I don't agree there, because you've just mentioned having United, you know, United DNA. But how do you learn on a job when you've got an average in the Premier League, I think, of 19 months? So if you've only got 19 months, you can't make mistakes, can you? We have got to start allowing some young managers to make mistakes without crucifying them, and maybe Carrick gets that sort of pass by coming to United because he's one of ours.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think you know, United fans are very patient. I've said this before, very patient with managers. You know, Amorim was basically, you know, the next stop for him after relegation, but fans backed him right till the end, really, and the job was clearly too big for him. And that is the thing with Carrick, unlike a lot of managers. Even Jose, I think, was taken aback just how big United are when he come in. It's been a big problem for managers, and I think Carrick settled and like you said, Neil, I mean, he's just a man who just he's calmed the whole place down.
Yeah, he certainly has, and I think he understands who's running United more than all the other managers have, and that's why Carrick's got things pulling together again.
And it is the team around him as well.
And he understands the fans as well, what sort of football they want. I mean, you can all have millions of pounds and do a Pep Guardiola. Anybody can do that, but you got to play football.
And to make the immediate difference he has as well, because every other manager we've had has got that pass at the start where people are like, well, he needs his own system, he needs time on the training ground. You know, we heard that all the time with Amorim, you know, more time on the training ground for this system. Carrick got none of that. He had to get results straight away, but he's beat, what, City already, Arsenal, stuff that Moyes took years and years to.
He's beat all the top clubs.
Yeah, everything. All his big games he's won. But one or two slip-ups, like you say, like Leeds at home was a bad night, but out of, what is it, 16 games, 17 games today, and he's won 11. I mean, that's league-winning form, you know, and with signings that he won't make the decisions with signings, I wouldn't have thought, but he'll certainly have a voice in him, and with signings more suited to him, I think he could be better next year. I mean,
yeah, I think that's one thing that I think is quite important. I think that over the last 10 years we've had no football structure, have we? When you know, Woodward came in, Gill left, and then you know Fergie left as well at the same time, and you just look at, like, you know, nobody knew what they were doing making the decisions, and Moyes was there kind of trying to, you know, steady the ship. And I think now, at least in the last 12-18 months, you know, you've got a group of football people in charge, hopefully making the right decisions. The signings seem to be better. If that continues, it's going to make you know, at the end of the day, signings make a massive, massive difference. You know, managers, of course, are important as well. But I think the fact that you've got kind of those people behind him is really important. And if it doesn't work out for him, then I'm more hopeful that you know, we won't be like going back to square one again. We'll be kind of having a reasonable base to work from, you know, to push on again. And I think a lot of the guys in charge now will be looking at what manager is going to be available in the next 12, 18 months, 2 years. And, you know, whilst we all want Carrick to do brilliantly well, if he doesn't, I think they'll have a plan. They'll have a second in plan, a third in plan.
I said to you a year ago that the new signings will be great for the next manager when he comes here.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I was thinking, that might be the case, that Carrick might only last 2 years, like you said, Blackie, but the team and a lot of the players will outlast the manager.
He's certainly not lost the right to manage United this time. He's got some difficult decisions to make because he's trying to move players on. It's not that easy to do, is it? But with Champions League football now, I think their wages go up by 25%, don't they?
Yeah.
How do you persuade somebody to leave a club when the wages have just gone up 25% and it's easy money for him?
You mean like Anana, for example?
Yeah.
Sancho, Rashford.
Well, Sancho, I think, is out of contract. Rashford, I think he knows his coach is good.
Players maybe like, I don't know, Ugarte, who's not going to be a real star, you know. Not easy to go, is it? Maybe Josh Searcy, who's not getting in that first team very quickly.
That would be a problem for whoever comes in, though, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? I think he might just leave that side of it to the board more. I mean, we do seem to be going in a better direction when it comes to the wages that we give players. You know, everyone loved Casemiro, and rightly so, but the wages he was given was ridiculous. And that is, the contract given to Rashford was ridiculous for what he'd achieved at that point in his career, and that has been a problem now. As they get ran down, we're not awarding those contracts back out. You know, I don't know what Lammens is on, but I'm sure it's not even close to that sort of, even what De Gea got 5 years ago.
I mean, I have to say, I mean, I know, and I go against the grain here, I feel very, very sorry for Marcus Rashford. I think he's been involved in a very, very bad breakup. You know, like the worst breakup in the world, you know, where both sides can never ever forgive each other for whatever happened in the relationship, and you know they're going to spit vitriol at each other all the way along. But for however much we sort of like, you know, he's not going to be welcome back to the club and he never wants to come back to the club, it is all a bit over the top, isn't it? Come on.
In what way, like, do you mean like...
Does he deserve the vitriol, vitriol that
he gets? I don't think he gets it, but he was a moody bastard for the last few months of his career.
Someone made a really good point, someone you all know, at a game recently, which I would like now Rashford to go to Barcelona and be really successful, and then in a year, 2 years, we look back and go, do you remember when Rashford scored that goal at West Ham in the Cup? Do you remember when Rashford scored that goal? We want to remember the good times of Rashford.
Absolutely.
And if he leaves, however, now, and we go through this period of they can slag each other, we'll get back to that and remember.
Well, I hope so,
as we should do.
Because yes, he was moody, you're right, and yes, there's a lot of sulking going on, but because he was one of our own, I think we'd certainly not him very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't hate him, and I think, you know, he probably didn't help himself, but I certainly, you know, I've probably saved a lot of vitriol I've got for Roy Keane at the moment, players like that, people like that.
Gary Neville.
Well, I was going to move on to that, was my next point, that what on earth are Gary Neville and Roy Keane playing at?
Well, the thing is,
when you've got Roy Keane on the overlap, getting a quote completely wrong.
Yeah, does Roy Keane think like Martin Luther King's speech with like "I have a nightmare" or something? Yeah. He misquotes.
He not only
misquoted
it, but the overlap's recorded, so they could have actually taken that.
Funny, isn't it?
But instead of that, they decided to play it anyway. Now, I know Roy Keane could do the football. We think about, you know, him and his legacy or whatever, and he's still named in most people's side as the great, you know, what, an almost star in one of United's greatest ever sides. Personally, I think he was brilliant. I think Brian Robson would be before him every step of the way for me. You know, Robbo was my number seven, if you know what I mean. And he was the greatest at that point. Gary Neville, again, what perspective? I don't hear him. All of us are always talking about this, so we don't hear him commentate on United at great
time. Okay? Yeah.
But we hear him commentate on other things, and now more and more, maybe on media sounding much, we hear what he's saying. It's not
that
clue, is it?
It's amazing, isn't it? And it's sad to watch, really. And I think there's probably a generation growing up now who look at them and they're not like treble winners or whatever, but they're just these sad bitter old men who, for some reason, seem to slag off United. Keane in particular, there's an agenda with Keane. There always is. I mean, he's great at handing out criticism. He's great at slagging people up, which, for someone who gives it out so much, he's got a remarkably thin skin when it, to the point that he carries a 20-year grudge against the wife of Michael Carrick. I mean, he's so insistent that what he says is right, but like you say, not only managed to get the wrong quote, but the complete opposite of it.
Yeah, he made it out to be, and Bruno had actually said, you know, I shouldn't have shot as much,
yeah,
which was ridiculous. Yeah. And I thought, given the circumstances of the game and today, I hope Bruno's trying to get at least one or two assists. And I don't give a toss if, you know, as long as they're trying. It was actually made the game fun to watch the other day, because it was comical, wasn't it? Trying them all to get him to do an assist. It was great fun.
Keane doesn't like fun though, does he? He's there to get clicks and say something, and he plays Mr. Grumpy in the corner. But I think he's pushed it for a lot of people now, and I think a lot of people just think, just bore off now. Like, what he says, frankly, for me, has no credibility. Because, like you say, Bruno, I'm delighted. It's a great record to get. Why wouldn't you? You know, I mean. And then, for some weird reason, he thought players shouldn't celebrate because Luke Shaw scored, which I don't quite get either. He thought that, like, Bruno shouldn't be celebrating.
I mean, I think he has to play that pantomime villain to a certain extent, because that is his job within
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
You know, particularly if you're around that moronic, dancing, all singing, all dancing, ex-City player, is it Villa?
Oh, yeah, that dickhead Richards, yeah.
He plays the sort of, like, clown, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then Keane sits there with his arms folded and slagged off.
It's a formula that probably the TV public want to watch these days.
Well, it links really well, doesn't it, with Gary Neville's company buying, what's it, Goldbridge's nonsense.
Speaking of idiots.
You know, and it's like, it's the same crap in it. It's just sensationalism. It's just
really sad
bullshit.
I think it's Cantona's birthday today. If Cantona speaks, I want to hear what Cantona has to say.
Yeah.
Players that were kind of up there with him in terms of when I used to watch United in those days, Keane, Schmeichel, Neville. I should want to hear what they've all got to say all the time. And those, I'll just turn them off.
Yeah.
When Cantona speaks, I'll make sure I read it and listen to it.
I don't think anyone's got, like, so you can criticise, as fans we all criticise, but when it's agenda ridden like it is with Keane, it's embarrassing, to be honest with you. And you might as well get your quote right, because, you know, he's terrible as a manager at Ipswich, and I think he's a terrible pundit now as well. And, you know, what is, I mean, Bruno's a fucking great captain, however, and he said he's not a good captain, which is ridiculous.
Well, Gary Neville's agenda, though, he was pleading to be substituted in the 7-0 at Liverpool.
Simply not true.
I
was watching it and Neville was commentating. He wasn't.
Yeah.
You could see on TV he never gestured towards it. And he asked for an apology, didn't he? He never got one.
He just made stuff up, don't they?
And he said it again and again and again. It was embarrassing.
Well, then people believe it, don't they?
Yeah.
So anyway, today's game, bit of a dead rubber. Hopefully a couple of youngsters playing, maybe Shay Lacey, maybe one of the Fletcher twins. I don't know, maybe a couple of others.
Jimmy
Flakes. Well, yeah, he looks a good player, doesn't he? He looks a nice little. Everything goes soon. It's a lovely sort of player to watch. So let's hope we'll see some of that. So, you bothered about the score today then? Are you going to have a guess?
I'll have a guess, but I'm not really bothered. 2-1 for United.
Yeah, I'll go. Johnsy thinks we'll get battered, and I can see what he means. Like, you can see us losing 3-0 today, but you can only ever make Roy Keane happy if we lost 3-0. But no, I'll go for a 2-0 win.
I think pressure's off. We'll win 3-2. I think it's the kind of game Dallow will score in. Now there's no pressure to actually hit the target. Dallow will score, and then we'll get on the coach, and the 1-1-5 charges verdict will be announced.
That could be. We'll talk about that on the way home, right?
That'd be a nice way to go in the summer, wouldn't it?
We'll discuss that perhaps on the way home.
And then Neil's got a chant for Aidan Heaven, which he's going to put
in the mag, though.
Of course, yeah.
We owe them one, don't we? We definitely owe them one. They always seem to get a result against us, but I'm pretty pessimistic. I think we might lose today, but let's say a 2-2 draw.
Well, thanks, Ray. Let's see now some podcast on the way down. Let's see what everyone says on the way back home.
Starting something new isn't just hard, it can be terrifying. So much work goes into this thing of yours, and you're not entirely sure if it's going to work out.
it can be hard to make that leap of faith. You might start a podcast or a business. You might not be sure what you're doing. What if no one listens? What if you make a fool of yourself? What if nobody buys your products? And you've got fears, you've got hesitations. But it does help if you've got a partner like Shopify on your side to help you. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, from household names like Gymshark and Heinz to brands just getting started. You can get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. And Shopify helps build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. You get to work out like you have a marketing team behind you. You easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. And what if you get stuck? Well, Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. It's time to turn those what-ifs into a cha-ching with Shopify today. Sign up for your £1 per month trial today at shopify.co.uk/united. Go to shopify.co.uk/united.
Right, well, that's the end of the season, and it's Manchester United 3, I think, was it?
3, it was.
Could have been 6. Brighton and Hove Albion. Dross. They were not going to Europe anytime soon, are they?
Well, I mean, we battered them, we deserved to, didn't we? Delighted. Did we predict 3-0 before the game?
With no confidence.
Two goals, I said, were advisory goals.
That's so, right. Yeah, so, yeah. Bruno getting a goal and another assist. I delighted for Bruno.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah,
fantastic.
That's the way you want to go into summer, isn't it? We deserved it. Like you say, they offered nothing. We've seen enough bad days there, haven't we? Especially towards the end of the season. But yeah, I think Roy Keane should get on his hands and knees and apologise to Carrick, apologise to Carrick's missus, apologise to me, every United fan going, and to Bruno as well.
In terms of Carrick's obviously had a good end to the season, but we were listening to results from elsewhere.
I've not seen them all yet because it's like there's no signal in the bloody ground. So apparently City got beat. You can hear.
City got beat.
And Tottenham have stayed up, I believe.
West Ham down.
West Ham won 3-0, but 3-0.
Leeds come didn't do anything, did they?
Sunderland are in Europe. Is that right as well?
No, I can't see that.
That's what.
Yeah, someone said. Brighton. They cheered a late goal, though, didn't they? They cheered a late goal, though. Did that mean something? John, do you reckon that got back into Europe?
With Villa winning, I think it meant that they finished fourth, so there's no fifth place.
Sunderland's above Brighton.
Oh, yeah?
That's amazing.
But Arsenal.
Yeah, put Bournemouth and Sunderland in UEFA, Brighton in Conference League.
Oh, yeah, Brentford missed out then. Chelsea missed out.
I mean, Chelsea missed out and Newcastle missed out, so.
How many times have we stood together at West Ham away and bemoaned it as the worst ground in the country in world football? Obviously we remember how they laughed at us in 95 when they stopped us winning the league and all that. We fucking blew it when we could have put them down when Tevez like kept them up. I'm pretty delighted they've gone down today.
I would have rather Spurs, but you know, let's take Matheus Fernandes off them and just fucking laugh at them, to be honest.
Going back to United today, I thought Maguire, he was brilliant, and he, after all the shit he's had to put over this week, I thought he was brilliant today. I thought Kobbie Mainoo looks like the best player on any pitch. Yeah, whoever's playing, he's just always just
great today.
And obviously Bruno's
certainly
fantastic.
I know they didn't start Belieber, did they? But the big talk was 100 million for Belieber.
No, and
it's not the player we're going to pick up, is it, to improve this side?
Not for 100 million, definitely.
Not for that price. And there's nothing there to say go out and get him. But I still think there's obviously a player in there that United tried to tap him up last summer. And I hope that the scouts have got. They've either had a long term plan and thought, we'll tap him up now, they'll say no, but we'll get him next year. Or they'll see what happens and his head goes, and they'll realise that he's not the right mentality. And if he's not the right mentality, they'll just go no. And that's a good thing either way, whether he comes to us or not. But I think Mainoo is every game he plays, he just looks better. I just can't understand what Amorim is playing at. He's so good.
It's not a good look for Amorim, is it? The way
he had this vision, didn't he, of how football he wanted to play football. Yeah. A bit like Guardiola did. And it was like my way or the highway for every player.
And his first touch is so good, and then it's not just his touch. His touch is good, but he looks at someone and goes, "I'm going to go this way." And goes the other way, takes them out of the game.
Amorim said that Bruno and Vainu couldn't play in the same team.
They could have both.
It was that lack of, you know, all these coaches. We heard about all these coaches, you know, and I read this week about Guardiola reinventing football. I'm not sure he did reinvent football. I think the team he played with it in Barcelona, that 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011 side, probably the best football team that ever played, in the world football.
In the
and if you look at, we went to, three finals during that time, and we were second best to them. Yeah, it shows how good we were at that time. And Garrett was in that side. They were. And I think he's taken it from them. He took over a good Barcelona side, took over an excellent Bayern Munich side.
Made them
worse. Came to City when they were, when they
the money came.
Before champions, they've been champions twice, and it before he came. It wasn't like he broke the.
Oh, of course, Mancini won it, didn't he?
Pellegrini won it.
Pellegrini won it as well. There's loads of that sort of stuff. So, yes, he can keep teams at the top. What we want Carrick to do now, though, is build a team.
That's right.
Has he got the players to build a team from what you've seen today?
No, we'll have to see. I mean, there's definitely a squad that... I'm joking slightly. We've got the best goalkeeper in the league. We've got the best goalkeeper in the league. We know we've got the best player in the league, Bruno. I think Kobbie Mainoo is as good as anyone else. So we've got a nucleus, really good players. Sesko's going to get better, so is Cunha, so is Mbeumo.
I think Carrick's whole team is good. I think his plan is good.
We've got a very good team, haven't we?
We've got a good team spirit.
The squad is not there, is it?
If we've got player two games. He'll have to manage the squad. The personality is, if you're in the team, if you're out the team, he'll have to manage that. And I think he can. He's done it, so nobody's been whinging, I'm not in the team, and miserable. There's been none of that. So
when you're winning, that's okay, isn't it? Let's see what happens next. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that, of course it is. So that is the thing, and we are winning. So
I do think as well, though, that we're starting to sign the right sort of character. I love Cunha, mate. I think Cunha's had a really good first season. But he's also, he looks delighted to be at United. He looks happy. He looks privileged to be at United.
Honestly, a year ago, and I've said this to lots of people, so I'm not embarrassed about it. A year ago, I didn't think Cunha would make it. I thought he'd lose his head. I thought he was a head case after what he was doing.
And that's what happened.
So I'm okay to say I was completely wrong about that. That might be Amorim, that might be Carrick, but
that management came in, didn't it, today, that he didn't play Cunha because he was going to the World Cup and he didn't want him to get injured. Yeah. The same reason you like Casemiro going off to Brazil. The same reason why. Dalot didn't play.
Yeah,
he has that awareness, doesn't he?
He has an awareness around that. There's no slight. I can play. Maisa can come on for 10 minutes and say goodbye.
He's buying himself a lot of goodwill, isn't he?
He did all right. And that's the kind of experience when I was saying on the earlier pod for earlier listen, it's not the United DNA. That's just the experience of being a United manager. You know all these things are going on in players' heads.
I think Neil said though, he's turned it round. Like the calmness he's brought. Do I remember, like, even a year ago, Andy Mitten was saying, like, it's a complicated dressing room, and it doesn't look like that now. It looks like they all, like, you saw them at the end as they're coming over to the end, and like
together,
they're all together. Yeah, absolutely.
Bruno didn't even want to be part of the.
Yeah. But he's absolutely entitled to be because he's right up there with all of the great United players.
I guess the thing is now whether United giving him a 2-year contract and now have to back him in the transfer market.
Yeah.
Is it players he's choosing? Is it players Wilcox is choosing? Is there a big budget? Do they have to get rid of the guard? To see et al. Sort of thing to be able to come bring somebody in who's going to make a real, real difference.
I think it should be a bit of both. I think that Carrick should absolutely have a say, but we were talking about this before, actually, weren't we? And like, I do think that the days are gone when like
like Alex Ferguson would say, right, Gary Pallister's best defender, Roy Keane's best midfielder, I will buy them. There's so many players across the world now that you can't, you know, we let Ten Hag have free reign and we signed a load of Dutch.
They'll just say we need a this or a that, and they should know who is the best person and that's available.
And the structure should be there once that manager, if he leaves for whatever reason, which hopefully Carrick doesn't for many years, you just carry on seamlessly and the next manager comes in.
I think we need to start being a bit more brutal with player exits. I think we've kind of let a lot of players who we've all thought there's kind of a player in there, like Xerxes. I think a lot of us think there's a player in there somewhere, but he hasn't done it now, so it's like, let's move him on if we can. And you know, if we play lower wages for players, then I think it's easier to move those guys on and just move him on and, you know, try someone else. City have done it for the last 10 years, haven't they? Like, you know, every time.
Sesko's another one, isn't it? Another year, and we're hopeful that something comes of him. He's a player in there.
I think, yeah, there is a player. I think he'll be brilliant. I actually think we missed him a bit today because,
yeah,
I know we scored two in the first half, but at times we were looking up and he's like, I've got no worries about him, Steve. No worries about him.
So, looks good.
It does look good.
More promising than
this time season. Last year, honestly,
depths of despair, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I can't believe the difference between the start of the season and that. I just don't want the season to end and it's ended. I want it to carry on because I want to get going again.
All the time Amorim was there, he only won more than one game once, and that was three games on the run.
Yeah,
Carrick's done it multiple times, and we seem to score three goals most weeks under Carrick. I mean, it's maybe not like quite that, but eight or nine times.
We've finished the season on a positive, haven't we? Goal difference for the first time, which seems like quite a few years, where we've been minus or just about even.
This is our biggest win since City at home.
Yeah, well. I'm very excited about next season. I'm
excited.
I am super excited about next season. I think, honestly, I do think we've overachieved this year. I think we've got a good team, we've not got a good squad. I think that to come third, we've done better than we should have done, really.
And I think with 14 points, we're in top place, we'll be in the end.
Yeah, and I think to come third again next season with Champions League would be an amazing achievement. But we've got to sign, in my opinion, two or three players. I think we've got to be careful to, like, you know, get too ahead of ourselves. I know it's like, you know, we want to be like challenging for the trophy, you know, the league and stuff. I still think we're two or three years off it, if I'm honest. Of course we'll go for it, but I think we need two or three good signings just to stay in the Champions League.
City
and
going
have a good
down start. Arsenal, I mean, Liverpool, by the sounds of it, are keeping Slot in charge. They're going to get worse, so it's between us and Arsenal.
Yeah, that is
but
true.
It doesn't always work like that, though.
It does in my head, sadly. On the end of the season.
Speaking of City, like, it's amazing how quick Southampton got their punishment. Run it for 115 charges.
Who knows? So,
tonight's the night.
Oh, that'd be a nice.
While they're in the Co-op arena.
Yeah. Doves are midway through pounding.
Right, okay. So, very quick end. Realistic expectation for next year, league and cup. Neil?
I think challenge for the league. Not necessarily win it, but challenge for it. Play good football and win a trophy. Even if it's a League Cup, that's fine.
Well, I think we are playing good football, aren't we? So why not go? Let's go for it.
And get out of the group of the Champions League as well.
All I'll say at this point is I'm excited for it and bring it on.
Yeah, just let's maintain this position. Maybe push on a bit. A good cut run for once this year. And if we can do that again, then I think the following year we'll push on and try and challenge for the trophy.
I'm going for three domestic trophies and a European Cup.
That's the spirit.
I think
that's the spirit.
Why not?
Aim for the stars.
I think if we finish in the top, I think if we can finish in the top three again.
Tottenham got out and Champions League
and get out of the Champions League stages and have a knockout game.
I guarantee.
And do something, you know, get somewhere.
We've beaten everyone in the top half of the Premier League.
They've got to start believing they can compete again.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like we're getting there with that. One thing's for sure. A couple of things. Brighton away will be the last game again.
Yeah, always.
We'll be back as usual in August on the bus, wherever we're going.
It's a nice day today, though.
Yeah, again, perfect day.
3-0 against Brighton.
We'll do it all again from August.
Well, that's it from the United Stand podcast for this season from me. Thank you for everyone for listening, and have a good summer. We'll see you next season.